The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 12th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. First to the state of Georgia, where a group says the outcome of the Moore versus Harper at the U.S. Supreme Court has potential consequences for future elections in the Peach State. More on that now from Danielle Smith.
The High Court has heard oral arguments in the North Carolina redistricting case, which includes a review of what's known as the independent state legislator theory. April England Albright with the Black Voters Matter Fund says if the court rules in favor of Moore, then state legislators would have unfettered control over how redistricting maps are drawn. She warns not all communities have fair representation when the maps are made by folks with political motivations.
I believe that their mere acceptance of this case is another step towards trying to take away the vital protections that marginalized people have to build their political power in this country and change the quality of life of their communities.
Backers of the independent state legislator theory believe each state legislator should have the ultimate power to draw voting district maps and regulate elections. Constitutional scholars say that isn't what the nation's founders intended, and that the courts should be able to play a role when things like voting district maps are challenged.
And Arizona saw 15,000 more kids get health insurance between 2019 and 2021. That is thanks to the federal dollars that kept them and their families insured during the COVID-19 public health emergency.
In a report from the Georgetown University Center for Family and Children, Arizona still sits more than 3 percentage points above the national average for the number of kids who are uninsured. Zeta Didal-Piacoro with Children's Action Alliance in Arizona says racial and ethnic disparities play a role in access to coverage. She says American Indians and Alaskan Natives did see important gains, but are not where they should be in terms of health coverage. Piacoro says Medicaid and CHIP often help offset the structural issues produced by lack of funding in the Indian health services system.
Medicaid and CHIP in particular can be a really important stopgap, especially in Arizona, where we see that American Indian and Alaska Native children are more likely to qualify for one of those types of coverage.
Piacoro says she realizes the solution isn't to enroll everyone in Medicaid, but rather for the federal government to fulfill its commitments to tribal nations, one of which is helping provide adequate health care to tribal members. Piacoro says the pandemic helped to usher in changes that alleviated some of the family burdens that contribute to children being uninsured. One of those changes is the continuous coverage requirement, which meant people couldn't be dropped from the insurance rolls during the pandemic. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
This is PNS. Advocates for people with disabilities say lawmakers in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts must strengthen wheelchair warranty protections to ensure wheelchair users are not stranded, waiting weeks or even months for repairs.
Consolidation of the multi-billion-dollar wheelchair industry and the usual insurance hang-ups mean people can miss medical appointments or work, potentially costing them vital income. Harry Weissman of the Disability Policy Consortium says new legislation would improve the odds of getting repairs promptly when they are needed.
There is this feeling that people are begging for their chairs to be repaired, and the people who are supposed to be responsible for that and are supposed to help them in this situation are nowhere to be found.
Weissman says the Senate has already passed a bill to lengthen wheelchair warranties to 2 years. It would also force companies to maintain a stock of replacement parts to reduce wait times and provide replacement chairs while repairs are being made. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Now to Kentucky, where rural households are grappling with financial stress that is disproportionate compared to households in other rural parts of the country.
A report by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says medical, credit card, and student loan debt combined with household incomes significantly lower than the national average create the perfect storm for hardship. At the Bureau, Senior Fellow Sean Sebastian says 1 in 4 people in Appalachian, Kentucky has a medical debt under collection.
That's a quarter of people in rural Appalachian, Kentucky who are dealing with medical debt collections. And we know that when people have medical debt collections, it has a cascading effect on their household finances in general.
The report says people who owe money on past due medical bills have more than double the rates of delinquency on mortgages, car loans, credit cards, and student loans compared to those without medical debt. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
Finally, our Mike Bowen tells us on the heels of last week's news that Minnesota's budget surplus has grown larger, there are renewed calls to approve free school meals for all students, regardless of income.
Districts that participate in the National School Lunch Program receive federal funds to offer free and reduced-price meals to eligible students. A universal program asks the state to provide the remaining funds to cover all students. Colleen Moriarty of Hunger Solutions Minnesota says with visits to food shelves still trending higher, they want to ensure that children from those households have as much access to nutritious food as possible.
Nutritious food solves a lot of issues. It doesn't solve all of them, but it breeds a more calm atmosphere, I think.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. We're heard on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.